This is Lisa Moore of the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM, available on DAB Digital Radio and on podcast. And yet again, we are recording the business show on Zoom from home. I'm in Haymarket, and my guests are one in Golden Cross and the other couple are in Hove right now. So it's going to be an interesting show. So today we're going to talk about a couple of different things. One is we're going to talk about cybersecurity, which given the current COVID-19 crisis, I think is actually very relevant because there are a huge amount of people that are working from home. There are a lot of businesses that have had to diversify and change the way they're working. And so the internet and IT security is really, really important right now. So I will introduce Deb Gunter from Trident a little bit later on, who's going to tell us all about cybersecurity and actually what it means. Because to me, it sounds like something out of Star Trek. So I would like to know a little bit more about it. And then I have the lovely Sam and Fern from Pick, Pack, Drop, which is a company that only started in May because of the COVID crisis. They're going to give us a bit of background on what they've been doing and how they've been doing it. So, Sam, Fern, you are...
Hello.
Lovely to meet you. Yes. Now, you are currently sitting in FreedomWorks in Hove.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's COVID safe here at FreedomWorks now. So
there's a one-way system.
Hand sanitizer at the entrance, a thermometer. We've got hot water stations for hot drinks all over the space as well. So it's been great to come back to our workspace and have the confidence to walk around not worrying so much about, you know, spreading the virus. It's good.
Yeah, almost back to normal.
Almost. Yeah, feels
almost. Yeah, almost back to normal. And it's nice, actually. I know that the listeners can't see us, but none of us are sitting here with masks on, which is quite nice.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's good.
That's it. I don't have any antibacterial. Oh, no, hang on.
We do.
Yeah. We've got multi-surface wipes.
Yeah, you can't see, though. You have to use your imagination.
I think, actually, we're all surrounded by hand sanitizer, face masks, and all of that nowadays, aren't we?
Yeah, that's a new way of life, absolutely.
Yes. So, now, you two have both got very different backgrounds to the business that you've set up. So, It would be really nice if you could tell us a bit more about your backgrounds individually, perhaps explain what you were doing, and then explain why did Pick, Pack, Drop come about?
Okay, should I start?
Yeah, I'll make a start.
So I'm a graphic designer and website developer. So I've been self-employed for about 12 years. So my sort of day job is designing and building sites. That's my background, really. That's what I've been doing. And then you've got a very different job.
Yeah, so I'm a milliner, so a hat maker. And I make hats and headdresses for very, very sexy people. It's sort of worlds apart from dried pasta and bags of sugar and flour. I make hats and headdresses for burlesque, drag, also reenactment stuff as well, so Hampton Court. So I'm sort of more of a hands-on sewing creative bee, and you're a virtual digital guru.
So two very different backgrounds.
Yeah,
really.
But creative.
Very creative. I do a lot. I work with a whole range of companies and individuals. So anything from production companies to big brands, small brands, a real range of different businesses.
Yeah. But we both work for ourselves.
Yes.
So
leading on to your next question about Pick, Pack, Drop, sort of during COVID, a lot of my contracts were put on hold. In fact, I was visiting an agency in Brighton on the day that they were going into lockdown themselves, and I was just about to start a contract with them. I had the first meeting with them, and we actually greeted with elbows, which was quite interesting. And then literally they were like, we're ready to start, we want to onboard you, and they had to go and work from home that same day. And that's really when things started to things were taken really seriously across the board.
Yeah,
so
it's very surreal. It
was really surreal. That was the beginning of it, really. And you know, some of my other clients were like, "We need to put things on hold for a while." So that you know, the business was still fine. A lot of my work, fortunately, working for myself, I'm very much used to finding new projects, and I've got a good source of work online. But something Fan and I think a lot of people experienced this, started to do was shop more locally, because we didn't particularly want to go to the supermarket. And there are some really great Facebook groups popping up with local suppliers. And you know, we were shocked that we hadn't done this earlier. We were finding, you know, these veg box companies and these meat companies and these coffee suppliers and beer. Yeah. And we're like, wow, we really haven't been exploring this as much as we should be.
Yeah. And you know, especially in Brighton and Hove.
Yes.
I mean, the culture here is about local.
Yeah.
It is very driven to, I mean, most of the population in Brighton and Hove, I'm sure, actually are self-employed.
Yeah.
Or sole traders,
There's so many businesses, like really cool businesses. But the one thing that we found tricky was ordering from some of these suppliers, especially right at the beginning of COVID. A lot of them didn't have websites or e-commerce websites. And we thought, well, you know, I'm a designer and developer. I can build something that allows suppliers to list their products really easily, and for it to be a place where customers visit and buy their local products all in one place.
Yeah.
Very much like eBay, I'd say. So you can go to the site, add products from different suppliers or sellers. You can select delivery, you know, your delivery price from each supplier as well, and they all offer different types of delivery. If you spend over a certain amount, they'll offer free delivery, etc. And then you check out and you buy in one transaction, and then each supplier basically delivers the products. So that's the idea behind the platform, really.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it really simple for the consumer, doesn't it? Because I had a look at the website earlier, and I was looking at the products and thinking, ooh, I like the look of that, and I like the look of that.
Yeah.
And it's actually being able to, it's almost like being able to go around all the shops virtually and then just go pick it all up in one go.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, because a lot of them just have Facebook or Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so you would have to, you know, direct message them and say, I would like so many carrots or so many broccoli.
Oh, yeah, that was taking you forever.
And it's just forever.
And some of them wouldn't even have, you know, a menu or a price list. It was like, this is, especially I think with vegetables, I think the price fluctuates.
Yes.
So
I'm sure.
We were sort of getting pictures of what we could have, and but you know, a lot of businesses still, even in this day and age, don't. It's usually bottom of the list having building a site or building e-commerce platforms can be really daunting. Websites, if you don't know what you're doing, can be. You know, it can be really stressful.
Yeah.
So we wanted to build a platform that's easy to use, and you know, we're improving it every week. We're adding new features. We're looking at partnering. We're talking to several delivery partners at the moment to
offer that side.
Yeah. So the suppliers can either drop to them, or the delivery partner can pick up from them, and then the customer will get it in one drop.
Yeah.
So that's something we're looking at, but our priority really at the moment is we just want to get as many suppliers on board as we can, so that there's enough variety for customers to really start using our platform on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Fern, when you said that Brighton and Hove is such a diverse place, and that the amount of amazing people that are doing different things. But, you know, as an individual person, you don't know where to look for everything, but if it's all in one place.
Yeah,
suddenly it opens up.
I
looked this morning at I think it was the beeswax wraps that you've got on.
Oh yeah, they're great.
Oh, I've wanted to find somewhere where I could get those for a long time.
Yeah,
and I would much rather support a local supplier.
Mm.
And then I looked at that, and then I saw the Big Hug
Brewing.
That looked pretty good as well.
Yeah.
I could wrap one of those up in a beeswax wrap and nobody will know that it's...
There we go. Yeah. It's interesting, actually. We're getting some more eco suppliers on there. So we have another one up and coming that we're currently onboarding. They sell rucksacks and
bamboo-based fabric,
like toothbrushes all those sorts of things as well. So it's probably like we're coming across products we never even knew existed, especially like the eco side of things.
Yeah, so it's kind of a discovery for us.
Yeah,
as Pick Pack Drop people, and then also a discovery for locals. Yeah. You know, discovering what's actually on their doorstep, but sort of virtually.
And another really popular thing that's we're onboarding at the moment is Metro Deco. They offer afternoon teas, and they were very kind enough to give us an afternoon tea. Actually, we were stuffed.
Yeah, we were so stuffed
because we had three different types.
Yeah,
of afternoon. We had like their main afternoon, their classic, and then
the gluten free,
and then the vegetarian.
Oh, it was great. We even gave one to Jeff,
our neighbour had some. So that's going to be a really great one on this. We've built a custom form for them, so that we're supporting our suppliers we're rapidly developing it. So if they come to us and say, we've got a bit of a different product, but I need a slightly different shopping experience, can you do that? So I'll rapidly design and develop. It uses a drop-down form because they've got very specific needs. So that we've built that for them. So we're just in the final stages of onboarding them, so people can offer an afternoon tea or gift someone an afternoon tea. And I think that's becoming a very popular thing during COVID is the sort of doorstep treats.
And I think it's really important that we're able to get that. I mean, I had something from my neighbours because they've been building an extension during COVID, which has been challenging, I have to say.
Noisy.
Very, very noisy. and quite hard when I'm trying to teach an exercise class and I've got a massive grill going. But they bought me round a box that they'd ordered from Betty's up in Harrogate.
Oh, lovely.
And I had a tea from there. But it's really nice to know that you can get an afternoon tea.
Delivered.
That's such a fantastic idea.
We've got another lady, Chelsea Cakes. She professionally is a singer. She's a professional singer, an incredible baker. I'm in the final stages of onboarding Chelsea, and her cakes are amazing. It's all of these businesses that are emerging off the back of industries that are struggling, entertainment, hospitality.
Yeah. I mean, even like you walk down to the seaside and you go past some of the barbers and they've got veg in their windows. You know,
that's
people
right,
are like re-emerging and changing.
Reinventing themselves.
And reinventing to be able to cope with no customers.
It's great. It's a really challenging time, but by the same token, it's amazing to see the innovation that's happening within business.
It's definitely a catalyst, COVID, for change. It's almost like a rejuvenation. Mm. It's like COVID sort of rained down on us in a terrible, devastating way, but we're all re-emerging as
reinventing ourselves.
The little shoots, of new ideas,
and we have to reinvent ourselves,
it's even more so for the local economy at the moment.
It's really lovely to sit here, and it's so refreshing to have conversations with people that can see the positives that are coming out, because if you watch you watch some of the news and things, you can get caught up in, oh my god, this is going to be dreadful, but so many people are coming up with new ideas and being innovative and creative in what they're putting together.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, really great.
Yeah, it's really inspiring. And like you say with the news, you can, especially when we've been indoors for so long. And it is very much doom and gloom. Because we're watching the news every single day, and you can get to that state of mind where you're like,
But it's all that you have.
It's all that you have.
All have is like the 5 o'clock briefing to look forward to and then to never see the light at the end of the tunnel.
It's just terrible. So it is inspiring to see a lot of change and innovate. It's been good fun. Mm.
So we talked a little bit about the sort of the eco side, and there does seem to be a feel of eco, organic, and everything on the site. Was that your intention, or has that just happened?
I think that's just happened, really. We're all for organic and
alternative
and eco as well. It's really important to us. But we're obviously with the suppliers that we are inviting. Well, in fact, we've not. I was going to say we are monitoring the suppliers that are being onboarded, but we've not really had any that we've rejected or said, "Oh no, that's not appropriate." Every single one, especially within this area, that's approaching us to be on the platform, are really great products, and I think.
And I think also, you know, the model of Pick, Pack, Drop in itself of shopping local is good for the environment. Shipping costs.
Yes.
You know, things coming over from China, things coming over from, you know, far, and they take 6 weeks by three or four different methods of getting to the UK. And actually, by cutting down all of that trail, you're getting fresher goods.
Yeah.
You're getting local goods that are produced here. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of common sense.
Yeah.
But also it's the convenience as well. And there hasn't been that sort of convenience there and ready to go. And especially at the start of COVID, you know, when it all kicked off, it was people scrambling to find an alternative way of getting their shopping to their door.
And it's because we had to as well. You know, we're all guilty of being lazy and going for convenience. You know, we all pop
go to the big supermarket
to buy, and we still do at the moment. You know, we're buying as local as we can on specific items, but we would like Pick, Pack, Drop to become the place you go to instead of the supermarket and make it affordable as well.
Yeah,
that's important.
Yeah, and I think you know, the supermarkets are there to serve the majority of people, but it's the, you know, the products that you're being able to supply, as you say, you know, you're supporting local businesses. You know, you can't nip to the local supermarket and necessarily get something that's been made by something in their back garden.
No, that's
the quality is superior. You know, that the meat we've been ordering, the veg is just so much better. The quality is great, and you realise, what have I been eating?
And do you know what? You can taste the happiness.
Yeah, you can.
In the animals more than it's weird. You know, it's like with eggs. It's just the simple things.
Yeah.
You know, eggs are orange and beautiful and wholesome, rather
because they're looked after. Properly.
They're looked after, and they've been running around and scrabbling and undergrowth.
You start to think when you start buying it. You do start to think about the welfare a little bit more of animals.
And there's a level of guilt there, isn't there?
Yeah. So it's been nothing but positive, our experience so far with the whole process of just speaking to lots of different businesses has been really inspiring and interesting. We've had to learn, you know, how that side of business works. I'm very used to building e-commerce sites, but now I'm learning about food and all those standards.
My best thing is cake, which has been terrible during lockdown because I'm sure my thighs have got a lot bigger than they were before. But, you know.
Everyone's had. This is where you come in, Lisa.
I'll join up to some of your classes.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. I know it's I was going to ask you actually you've answered this question already because you talked about the afternoon teas, but you know, do you sample all of the products or do you just sample the ones that you think a bit of cake?
Well, we are inviting all suppliers to send us free samples. No, we've not sampled sort of a handful of suppliers.
We sampled Tappy Bakes.
Tappy Bakes. They dropped us their
Brazilian cheese bites.
Brazilian cheese breads.
Yes, I saw those on the website.
They're lovely. Yeah. They're gluten free, and we met them at the doorstep at a distance. They dropped off a packet of their breads, and they're lovely.
You know, it's wonderful. It's a chance to by ordering from us and exploring local people, you're also exploring different cultures too. Yeah. You know, we want to encourage people who mm-hmm. are from Brazil, from Jamaica, Polish shops and yeah. Czech shops. You know, it's
actually that's a really interesting
it's
point.
It's a chance
yeah.
to
try different foods,
try different things,
which you wouldn't usually. You know, we've got specialty aisles now, which yeah. is great in the supermarket. And
yeah.
you know, how many times have you walked past that section and not considered yes. trying something because yes. you're not aware of it? And it's been an opportunity for us to try.
It's non-discriminating with the food that you're eating.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, you know, you'd walk past a shop
yeah.
and be like, oh, I don't know, it's not familiar. Yeah.
I don't recognise the brand.
No, don't recognise yeah. the brand. Yeah. Whereas, you know, alternative doesn't have to be eco.
No.
It also can be cultural.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that, you know, it's an interesting.
Yeah, it's been great for that, definitely.
And it's not just food products. I mean, we've talked quite a bit about food, but you also mentioned about the backpacks and the these backpacks. So where do you see this going? Because from where I'm sitting, it looks like this could be Brighton and Hove. It could be the world.
Yeah, well, at the moment, so we have, I'd say 50% of our suppliers are actually nationwide suppliers. So they. We have a lovely snacking company, Boundless Snacking. They sent us a big box, which is very good of them, of their products. And they're based in Bristol, but they ship nationwide. So when we have more suppliers on board, we're onboarding, I think, between 15 and 20 at the moment, and we're looking for more. Mm. But once we have sort of a greater range, and we have started talking to people in other counties. We're going to be introducing a search on our site, so you can search by location. So if you're in Suffolk, for example, which is where I'm originally from, you could put in your postcode, and then it will give you a radius of products that are not only available nationwide, but available in your area.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's certainly something we're looking at. We are focusing mainly on Brighton and Hove at the moment.
Yeah.
It's really like our MVP, really, to trial the platform and see how suppliers
yeah.
and customers respond.
I mean, obviously, yeah. we'd love it to be the go-to place
yeah.
for everybody's weekly shop across the UK.
Yeah,
definitely.
Brilliant. And it's, you know, it's learning what our suppliers want, it's learning what our customers want, and adapting as, like any business, adapting as we go and seeing what does and doesn't work. Throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks, as I say. You know,
yeah.
it's important.
So if there are businesses, I'm sure that there are businesses from Brighton and Hove listening right now, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
So the best way to get in touch is if they visit pickpackdrop.com.
Yeah.
They can go to the Join Us page and read about the process, about how it works, and complete the Join Us form. Once they've completed the Join Us form, we'll send them more information of how they add their products. And then we go from there, really. But it's a very much step-by-step process. So we hold your hand through the whole process of creating. We create your profile for you. We add your products. We optimize your images. We're doing a lot of the work for the suppliers at the moment to encourage them to get on board.
So you make it nice and simple that they have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also something to remember is, even if you've got a website, it doesn't mean that you can't be part of ours as well.
Yeah.
You know, the more shop windows you're in virtually,
yeah.
the better and the more discoverable
yeah.
you are.
Absolutely.
You know, and some customers from Tappy Bakes might then suddenly fall upon their
yeah.
products and be like, oh, actually, I'll add that to my basket.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not about, oh, well, I've already got a website or an e-commerce site.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, no, you know, make yourself discoverable
yeah.
to people that don't know about
yeah.
you. Yeah.
And something we are doing as well, we are looking at dropping our fees completely. So at the moment we charge a low fee of 7.5% just on the sales. So that we don't take any fee from delivery that they charge.
Yeah.
We are looking at dropping that fee. So you just pay the payment gateway fees or the card processing fees, which would be 1.4% plus 20 pence. So it would be, I can't say this for a fact, but it'll probably be one of the cheapest platforms online to sell your products in an e-commerce environment. So that's something we're looking to do sort of in the coming months. And that's to encourage as many suppliers as possible.
And also support local in this really awful time. You know, we're not in it to take loads of money away from businesses. We're in it to be a support, a scaffold to rebuild.
And it's never really been about that. It's for now it's all about us supporting our local community, and it's a good side project to be involved with, really. It's been a sort of a community project that's at the moment not really making much at all, and it's just helping local businesses get by and support them during this really tough time.
That's really fantastic, Sam Fern. It's been really interesting listening to you, and I'm sure that I'll ask you a few more questions
Cool.
So this is Lisa Moore from Radio Reverb 97.2 FM for the Brighton Business Show, available on DAB Digital Radio and on podcast. Now I'm going to talk to Deb from a company called Trident, who are based in Brighton and Hove, all about the Star Wars cybersecurity. And it's not Star Wars. I have a little bit of knowledge about cybersecurity. But I'm going to ask Deb to explain what that means.
Hello. I liked your reference to Star Trek and then Star Wars. I mean, I'm all for that. Sign me up. Okay, so cybersecurity. Yes, so I'm here from Trident. We're an IT company. We've been based in Brighton now for nearly 30 years. And we're a Microsoft Gold partner, so we deliver support, consultancy, solution design around networks for businesses in the southeast, the UK. But yeah, I'm here to talk about cybersecurity. And like you say, it can be a bit confusing if you don't really understand what it is. So cybersecurity, in essence, it's just the practice of defending computers and networks and your data from malicious attacks. So what's a malicious attack? Well, that can be ransomware, which I'll go into in a bit more detail in a moment. Phishing emails, again, I'll elaborate. It's not phishing with an F. Password attacks and identity theft, which we've all heard about through Facebook or Instagram and all those kind of areas. So it's nothing new, I don't think. Cyber attacks is not, it's not something that's recent. It's definitely been around for a while, but we are seeing an increase in cyber attacks, and not just for individuals, but for businesses. So now more than ever, I think when everyone's sort of picked up their business and taken it home and made their network accessible remotely, we need to make sure that we're protecting our network and our data and our users from these cyber attacks, because you need to make your network accessible, but you need to make it accessible to the right people. Mm. So you don't want to be giving unauthorized access. So that's kind of why I'm here. I want to decloak the mystery of cybersecurity, because I think it's very common for people to, especially with IT, and I get it, if you don't understand it, you sort of go, oh, I don't want to know about it. And you put your head in the sand and it's too risky, I think, to do that with this area, because obviously if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't know what you need to do, you don't do it, and then you can be super vulnerable to an attack. And from micro businesses to large organizations, it can be catastrophic. Unfortunately, within the industry that I work in, I've seen the impact of a cyber attack and how it can really affect a business, and they can be down for weeks whilst they're rebuilding their network. And that's people's income, that's staff not working. It's very, very stressful. It's a horrible experience, and it can be prevented. You know, we're not talking about complicated or expensive measures to protect businesses against these kind of attacks.
Can you expand a little bit on the experience that organization, obviously not telling us who it is and all that stuff, but expand a little bit more so that people can really understand exactly what the effect it can have if you are attacked.
Yeah, absolutely. So this particular business that I'm going to refer to, this was probably the worst one we had. So they had recently moved office, and this is what makes it the worst, is they had recently moved and they hadn't configured their backups to replicate offsite from their new office. And backups are so important when it comes to cyber attacks or preventing against cyber attacks, because it means that you can recover your data if it gets encrypted. Yeah. So they didn't have backups replicating offsite. When they got this attack, and this attack happened because their password wasn't complex, so it's easily guessable. And we're not talking about people sitting in front of their computer guessing what password it is. We're talking about, you know, programs running through thousands of passwords every second and then guessing it. So it's not someone sitting in a dark room typing in password 123. So yeah, they had an incomplex password. They didn't have a backup. Their data was encrypted, and it was something we'd never seen before. And we actually spoke to an organization who deal with cyber forensics, and they'd said they'd never seen this before either. The data was encrypted three times, and it was obviously impossible for us to retrieve that from their backups, because their backups hadn't been working. And they were contemplating paying the ransom to get this data decrypted.
Let me just ask you, sorry, I'll just stop you there. So they were actually being asked by the person or the company, the organization, that to pay money.
Yes.
You're talking physically having to pay money.
Well, yeah, this one was actually a mixture. So ransomware is basically, it's a group of malware or a type of malware that either decrypts your data or locks you out of your network.
Get into your system.
Correct, yeah. So it changes your login details or it encrypts your data. And in order to get access to your data, it asks you to either pay money, or this one was asking for money as well as personal data, so password numbers, which we'd never seen before. So this company was not a small organization. Obviously, we're sitting there saying, we don't know what to do. The only option we can see is to pay the ransom. We advised them not to. The cyber forensics company advised them not to. They didn't, thankfully, because you just don't know where that money's going. Mm. Nowhere good. And the way that we managed to get them back up and running was to rebuild them from scratch. Now, not a small company, like I said. They were out of action for about a month. Which is significant. And I know we all know what it's like recently. Obviously, we've all been sent home to work remotely, and businesses have all had that impact. Imagine having this as well as having a cyber attack. The two together could mean that would be the end of business. Yeah. So it was catastrophic, and there were two very simple things that would have stopped that from happening. A decent backup solution, so having their backups replicated offsite, we would have been able to restore their data, you know, like that. Or having a complex password, not just a complex password, but having something that the IT industry love and everyone else will love over time, because we will make you love it, which is multi-factor authentication. Yay!
Our listeners can't see this right now. So on my screen right now, I've got Sam giving us the Deb doing the same. Both of them. Yes, that's what we all need.
So yes.
Tell me again, what was that? Double authentic.
So it's called multi-factor authentication. It's also referred to as two-factor authentication. And basically what it is multiple ways, multiple factors to authenticate who you are. And we've had this with the bank for years, haven't we? So when we log into our bank, we use a password, but we also used to have the little card and exactly. Yeah. Or you have your screen on your phone that says your face or whatever. That's two different factors to authenticate who you are. It's not new, and we just need to apply it to remote access to networks or our email accounts, anything that requires us to protect data. And I'm not just talking businesses as well. I mean, obviously it's important for business data, but it filters right through to our personal lives. So for example, my Outlook email account, for me personally, I use that for my bills at home. So British Gas, BT, all that sort of stuff. If someone was to get hold of my password for my Outlook email account, they would be able to get into my personal business and make changes. Or, you know, maybe they'd log on to my Amazon account and buy stuff that's got my debit card saved to it because I'm lazy and that's bad. So you put MFA in place. So I have MFA, multi-factor authentication, on my personal Outlook account and my Amazon account. And all it says is basically, if someone's trying to get into my account, they've got my email address, they've managed to get my password, which is unfortunate. They then try and get in. I get a message on my mobile that says, hey, you trying to access your email account? And I say, oh, no, I'm not. So I decline. That person can't get in. And then I change my password because obviously someone's got hold of my password. So it's kind of, there's a lot to know, but it's really important to know it. And actually, once you understand that cybersecurity can be as simple as having a decent backup solution, having a decent password, having another way of authenticating as well as your password, you're kind of already, you know, so far down the line to mitigate these risks. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to remove the complexity of it, remove the fear of it. I think we need to know about it, because if we don't, we're going to lose this arms race that's happening between these people who are hacking and stealing data, and they don't care what data it is. That is completely indiscriminate. Yeah. So they're not going, I want the data from that company over there because then I want to sell it on to their competitors. There might be some of that. There might be targeted attacks, but actually they're probably just going, I bet that business has got money. I'll hold their data ransom and then I'll ask them to pay for it. So it's not about who you are. It's just about whether you've got data or not. If you've got more sensitive data, so for example, charities might be holding really sensitive data about the donors that they have, credit card details, for example, that kind of data needs to be protected, because obviously if you lose that, or if someone has access to that, then it's quite a serious offence, and you need to report that, because under the guidelines of GDPR, someone's basically got access to sensitive data. So it can open up a can of worms, and it's just about applying the sort of simple measures at the start of it. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what we're trying to do as a company, is speak to as many businesses as we can to try and remove the, like I said, the sort of the complexity around it.
Yeah.
And get people to understand that, you know, knowledge is power. It's quite simple. I mean, the National Cybersecurity Centre, on their website, actually, it's a great quote. They've basically said that cyber attacks are the digital equivalent of a thief trying your front door to see if it's unlocked. So, you know, it's about just putting an extra level in, locking the front door, not just having a front door, locking it so that people can't get in. And that's the password and the MFA, yeah, and the backup.
So we've talked about business, but just going back to the personal thing, because that's really interesting, isn't it? Because everybody has their, their personal email addresses, and maybe they have two or three different personal email addresses. How simple is it to set it up?
So simple. Like, genuinely, it's really easy. If you go into, say, for example, outlook.com and you sign into your account, there will be a tab at the top that will say privacy or security, and you select that. And then there'll be an option that says add 2FA or add MFA, depends how they refer to it. They're the same thing, two-factor or multi-factor. Multi just means more than two. So you select that, and then there will be a QR code that you scan with your mobile, mm-hmm, to basically enter it into an app. You'll have an app on your iPhone or your Android device that's free, and you just scan that QR code into the app, and hey presto, it's done. So app on your mobile, QR code to scan within your Outlook or Gmail or Yahoo. They'll all have it. It's not anything new. And hey presto, away you go. And you don't need to do it every time you log in. That's what's really important. I think a lot of people think that this kind of security is really disruptive.
Yeah.
And so that's what puts them off.
Yeah.
But that's not the case, because basically, if you've logged in on your home PC or your work laptop into your Outlook, for example, it remembers who you are. So it's clever. It knows what IP address, it knows what device you're logging in on. So you don't have to then authenticate the next time you log in. It recognizes you. if you were to go and buy a new laptop or a new device and log in, you would have to authenticate, because that's the same as someone trying to log into your account for the first time. Or if you went to a web cafe or an internet cafe, I don't even know if they still exist or people go to them, but if you did, then it would be a new location logging into your email account. So it would say, hey, you who you're supposed to be. So that's great. That's what we want it to do. We want it to ask in a new scenario if you are who you say you are that's logging into the account. But we don't want it to be intrusive and ask us every time, because that's when people say, I can't be bothered. And the same rule applies with password policies. You know, the rule of thumb used to be you had to change your password every month or every 3 months, and it had to be complex. And so that leads people to making really easy passwords to remember, or writing them down, or reusing the same password over and over again so they don't need to remember it. And so basically Microsoft's argument now is make it as complex as possible and change it twice a year and put MFA on it. And then you're more likely to have your staff pick a 12 character complex password that they will take time to remember, but they will know it for a really long period of time. They won't have to change it every 3 months.
Yes.
And that's more secure than them getting lazy about it, because laziness is the weakness.
Yeah, I mean, I have worked for a company for a long time now, because I've been, working for myself for 15 plus years, I think. But I remember having to change my password every month, and literally I would just change one character, because it's trying to remember it. And I think that's a lot of people think, oh, how am I going to possibly remember this? And I actually was going to ask, because a lot of systems now will remember your password for you. Are they safe? Because I know when that first happened, and, you know, I think it was Google said, oh, would you like me to remember your password? And I was like, oh, I don't know whether I should say yes or should I say no. Is that safe, that the password is remembered on your device, but if you have the 2FA or MFA in place, then is that a secure way of doing things, or do you actually have to remember the password?
Yeah, so it can be safe. It depends. The device needs to be secure. Mm-hmm. So, for example, it needs to have up-to-date antivirus. It needs to be protected in that sense. MFA for anything that requires a password is preferable. You can fall foul of certain viruses that will get into a machine and they will take passwords that are saved from browsers. And obviously that's the risk, is that if you do have a password saved for a secure website and a virus gets in, it can go and get that password. So I would say save the passwords for the browsers where it's not a high risk access, for example.
Yeah.
Personal preference, I don't save passwords for my email accounts. Well, I could do because I have MFA on it, but I just don't, because maybe it's because I'm in the industry I'm in,
yes.
I'm incredibly suspicious. But yeah, I would say that it can be safe if you've got all the right antivirus around it. I think businesses prefer users not to save their passwords in browsers. And, you know, for the same reason as an individual, it would be advisable not to, unless it's a website that's really not holding anything of high risk. Because the thing is, passwords are really interesting. When we get the individual understanding the importance of passwords and how they should be secure, and how don't use the same password for everything, because if one gets hacked, the likelihood is your password's now out there in the dark web, you know, which is a thing. For example, there have been websites, and I'm not going to name them, where they've been hacked and their passwords have been become available, they're just sold. And so if they are the passwords that you used for your data at work or your personal email address, there is a risk there. So don't be lazy with your passwords. And once we get those individuals, you know, from the individuals up, thinking, just using that common sense around security, that will filter up through to the business as well. So just on the topic of the businesses, and I know I've thrown a lot of information at you about cybersecurity, and I try not to get on a passionate rant too much.
You are obviously very passionate about this, and you see that it is really important.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I've seen some. It's horribly disruptive. And it's not just about businesses. You know, I think people think they get stuck on the fact that, well, that business needs to take responsibility for its data, and a business can do everything under the sun to ward off these kind of cyber attacks. But if an individual does something by mistake, you know, we're not talking about someone, you know, maliciously causing a problem, but if an individual accidentally opens that invoice from DHL or, you know, that courier that they were expecting, because these phishing emails, like I was going to say, they are fake emails, but they are made to look genuine. So we do get tricked by them. And that's quite common, unfortunately, that people do get tricked. So that user opens that email and suddenly there's a ransomware attack on the network, and that business has done everything that they can to avoid it. So yeah, I think it's tough. We need to understand that, yes, it's the business that takes responsibility. They can do everything in their power to protect about it, but it is the users that are usually the ones that are the sort of weakest point. And so we need to get people in general understanding about how they can be better about applying just some common sense. If in doubt, don't open it. If someone really wants to get hold of you, they'll probably give you a call. You know, did you get my email? Well, actually, it had a really dodgy link on it, so I didn't open it. Oh, really? You know, maybe their account's been hacked and all this kind of stuff. We just, like I said, super suspicious. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's really important. It's about education, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think people get scared. I'm going to use my mum for an example. You know, she quite often will ring me and say, Lee, I've had this email and it looks all right. It's from Amazon or something, but I wasn't quite sure about it. So my advice to her is always don't do anything with it. And
yeah,
I'll look at it when I come round or something.
But yeah, I mean, the same thing applies. So we've had people call us and pretend to be Microsoft and they need to get onto your PC because they need to fix it. Yeah, I mean, like, phone scamming's been around forever, and email is just another way of people getting hold of your information. So we just need to be as savvy with it and as scrupulous about what we're getting over our, you know, over our email as we are usually with the post. You know, we put our flyers in the bin or whatever, and yeah. It's just about applying common sense, not being scared of it. Don't be scared of it. If you're scared of it, you're more at risk of causing something, you know, problematic. I think we need to grab hold of it and take control. So, I mean, that sort of leads on nicely that what we're trying to do, because obviously there's quite a lot to talk about when it comes to cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And people might not know where to start. Passwords. I would say passwords.
Yeah, I was going to ask where do you start passwords? I think we know that now.
Yeah, I can see Sam and Fern looking at each other. Good. Yeah. So in terms of businesses, so we Trident works with hundreds of clients, and we're trying to make everyone as secure as possible. And the way that we're doing that is we're helping all of our clients achieve Cyber Essentials, which is a government-backed scheme.
Ah, yes, this is this certificate, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So it's a certificate. It's an industry-supported scheme, basically, that the National Cyber Security Centre, which is a bit of a mouthful, have put together for businesses, small to large, to achieve certain criteria on their network to be cyber safe. So we're talking about a checklist, which is great, isn't it? Everyone loves a checklist.
Everyone loves a checklist.
Yes. So we go through this checklist with you, and we basically, the first step is to analyze where your network is compared to where the government and the National Cybersecurity Centre believe your network should be in order to mitigate the risks of these cyber attacks. So firewall, password policy, multi-factor authentication, these are all the kind of questions that will come up, and you'll go through that process and you might find that you're really far away from where you need to be, and so therefore you need to put some steps in place. And it can be as simple as writing a policy document for your staff about how they access their emails on their mobile phone, and that their mobile phone should have a password on it if they're going to access email on their phone, which I don't know anyone who doesn't have a password on their mobile phone these days. So that it can be really, really straightforward. It doesn't need to be a scary thing. So we go through this process and we bring everyone up to speed. And then once their network is ticking all the boxes of this criteria, we take them through the assessment. Right. And then they get this fantastic certificate and this logo that they can put on their website and on their signature that basically says to all of their clients and all of their potential clients, we take our data security seriously. And that's really important. And I think that's going to become even more important as time goes on. You know, with all this remote working and being flexible, we need to make sure that our data is secure. And if you're looking at two businesses in the same, you know, you're going, well, I might go with this company or I might go with that one. Well, these guys have got cyber essentials. And that tells me that they've met the government's criteria for how to keep their network safe. So I'm going to go with them because I'm going to put my data with them effectively. Mm. So I want to make sure that they know what they're doing. So it's really important. It's something to shout about, definitely.
So it's a bit like, was it the ISO 9000? And
absolutely.
Something else now, but it's a quality. It makes you trust that organisation a bit more, doesn't it?
Yes. And just like ISO, it is renewed every year because cybersecurity is an ever-evolving beast. We can't just, you know, put a flag in the sand and say, hey, this is where it's at. You know, stuff is happening all the time. So we need to make sure that we are assessing it all the time. So 12 months, cyber essentials. The fee of the certificate starts at £300, which is a small amount when you think about it. You know, the risk of having a cyber attack and the cost of that is, you know, it's a no-brainer to go for something so simple. So what we're trying to do is just have the initial conversation with as many businesses as possible to say, hey, where does your network sit compared to where it needs to?
Yeah.
And how can we help you get to the right place?
So if somebody wanted to come and talk to you about their cybersecurity, what's the step for them to get in touch with Trident?
So you can go to our website, which is tridentgroup.co.uk, all one word. You can give us a call on 01273 662777. Any one of us will be able to help you out. We're doing these gap analysis, this first step. We're offering it free of charge to businesses because we're really passionate about this. We really want people to take this seriously. So if anything, it's coming into a business and saying, hey, look, guys, you're great. You know, this is where you need to be. And you're there. This is fantastic. Let's take you through the assessment. Let's get the logo on your website. Let's shout about it. Let's tell everyone that you've done a really good job.
Yeah.
Alternatively, we need to do some work. Okay. You know, you need to put some stuff in place and we can help you out with that as well. So.
And it's about you don't know what you don't know. So being able to actually have that assessment and suddenly recognize that there's a gap here that we need to fill. And if it's a free assessment, so okay, I'm going to open up Sam and Fern again because obviously Sam is in IT as he's already talked about. What are your views on cybersecurity? You've heard quite a lot from Depp. How do you feel about it, given that you're pretty much running an IT business now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, security's like top. I run a very small design agency. So like I was explaining earlier, it's called Zoo Studios. So we design and develop websites, and cybersecurity is a massive part of that. Mm-hmm. So being a fellow geek, I also I take all of this so seriously. So, you know, I use a password manager. I use 2FA on all of my accounts. And I strongly recommend my clients to do the same for sort of the website of things as well. Hosting websites in the right place so they're secure. So there's a big security side to websites, so how they're coded and what platform they're running, where they're hosted, whether things are kept up to date, whether the firewall's in place. There's so much to it. And you know, a lot of the sites we run and look after, we have firewalls, and the amount of attacks they're susceptible to on a daily basis is crazy.
Wow.
And having those safeguards in place is really important to prevent them from being hacked, because they can get hacked, and in turn, when the sites are hacked, they're loaded with malware, and then people visiting those sites in a vulnerable Windows machine, for example, could then be susceptible to that malware and get ransomware and all sorts of things. So web security is really important to ensure that people visiting our sites are kept safe as well. So yeah, it's a really serious thing, and it's very overwhelming, I think, for a lot of people, because it's not always an easy subject to explore if you're not used to working with computers. It's you mentioned your mum, Lisa. My mum and dad are the same. You know, sometimes get frantic phone calls. They've got a lot better now, but you know, we get a phone call where they're like, "Oh, we dad's opened an email, and it's oh god," you know. And then I'm the family's IT consultant, so
It's been interesting for me, because quite a lot of my fitness clients are sort of older ladies, so 60 plus, 70 plus, and seeing them get to grips with Zoom has been incredible.
Yeah,
they've been amazing, and they love it. But it, I think you're right. You both said it's that IT can be scary, and it's all these words, you know, this ransomware, malware, phishing. But and everybody's like, oh, I don't know what that means. And so we, like Deb said at the beginning, is you put your head in the sand and you don't, you know, you don't want to look at it, because it feels like it's going to be too complicated and complex. Mm.
Deb's absolutely right, though, with it's taking simple steps. Mm. I think, Deb, you explained it really, really well. It's taking those really simple steps to protect yourself from attack. And the 2FA or MFA is such an effective way of protecting against that. There are lots of, like Deb was saying, there's some really great free apps that you can use to do that, or via text message. Apps, I think, are the preferred way of doing it. In the States, I don't want to go off too much of a rant, because I can nerd on about this forever.
I haven't got that long left.
in the States, they have a big problem with that, with SIM cards being cloned. So if you're using, I don't know if it happens so much here, but if your SIM card is cloned, then the attacker can then receive your text message with the number. So using an app is a more secure way of doing it with 2FA or MFA.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you both individually. So, all three of you individually, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge for business going forward with where we are right now? And just quickly, because we haven't got lots of time. So I'm going to ask Fern first.
It's kind of a strange question, because it's a bit like looking at the weather forecast before your wedding day, which is what we did last year. And you think you can predict it and you can prepare for lots and lots of different things, but actually when it comes to it, forecasting something as big and as devastating as what's happened could go either way. It could be sunny or it could be rainy, and yeah.
I think that is a fantastic answer. Really, really fantastic. So okay, Deb, your turn now.
Okay, what I'm coming across most recently is businesses who don't know what to do with their office space. So a lot of people still have a server in their office for whatever reason. Maybe they need to, or maybe they just haven't moved to the cloud yet. So if they're not going back into the office because, hey, look, we can all work remotely, that's a big expensive office space for a very small server in the corner. I think for us, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people sort of question, why do I need that space anymore? Yeah. And if from an IT perspective, how can I get my network out of that office so I don't have to pay for that space anymore, and into the cloud, which is, in most cases, completely achievable.
Mm, so a lot more server farms then, by the sounds of it.
We call them data centers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Sam, what do you feel?
I feel like our spending habits, they're already changing massively. I think being at home, we've realised we pay more attention to where we're spending our money. And we're cooking more, we're buying more products from local suppliers like we discussed earlier. You know, we're getting into coffee in a big way, and we're spending less out and about, which I think is devastating for the hospitality industry. And I think they're going to have to come up with some really new ways of selling, because we've all been at home.
Afternoon teas, I think.
Yeah, which is it, you know. So I think our spending habits are going to change in a big, big way. So that's where I think it might be going.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, it's been a really, really great Brighton Business Show. I'm Lisa Moore on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Thank you very much, Deb, from the Trident Group. And thank you very much, Sam and Phone from Pick, Pack, Drop, for joining me in July for the Brighton Business Show.